When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Bradfo Show. That's my open? That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
All right, we're sitting in the exact same spot we did about 11 months ago?
Was it that long? 11? Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I feel like it was July.
I don't remember what month it was, but it was a long time ago.
All right, it feels like yesterday, and I guess that leads to my first question. What did you do with my T-shirt that I gave you, the Ad Bradford?
I still got it at home. It's a sleep shirt, though. It's more...
It's a big one.
So yeah, that's it was too big, so it's a sleep shirt.
Have you honestly, please tell me, have you ever worn it?
Yes,
you have?
I have worn it. One of my boys came over and he was like, what is that? And I was like, don't even worry about it. So, whatever.
Your buddy came over and saw you with it, but have you ever worn it in public? This is what I want to know.
No, I haven't gotten any public use out of it, no.
Okay, all right. All right, so let's get to brass tacks. So I appreciate you coming by, Mookie Betts, in case people didn't know. And I really enjoyed our conversation last year, and it was fun. I remember we talked about Joel Embiid, his Twitter account. Yep. You asked me about the Dodgers, and I pretended like I knew who was on their team. And one of the things you had said, which you know I also remember, was that at that time you were going through some struggles, I think, but you said, I don't know if I'm ever going to be as good as it was in 2016. As we sit here right now, you're better than you were in 2016. There's a news flash, all right? So take me through, before I get into that, take me through, like, when you're sitting there saying that, what's going through your head? Do you actually feel like... Like, were you just sort of protecting yourself against expectations, or what was going through your head?
No, I wasn't protecting myself against expectations. It was more of me just not really knowing the next steps to getting better. I mean, you know, I've had coaches and whatnot, and, you know, they helped me during the year, but, you know, not necessarily knowing how to get better throughout the off season and what the next steps are to becoming, you know, a better player. So... I feel like I've learned some things that will help me, you know, take the next step, and been kind of trying to apply them this year, and you know, they seem to work so far. But I know that there's always little things that I can learn and that I can apply, and you know, definitely after this year, that being that I can apply something and it work, and definitely makes me more hungry to learn.
So this is what I have to dance around, like, because I always still want to say, hey, Mookie, you're awesome. How do you become so awesome? Isn't that great to be awesome? And I know that you're not comfortable, like a lot of guys aren't, so talking about this. But let's go back to what you just said about learning. When you're sitting here saying, I don't know if I'm ever going to be that good, and you said, well, I wasn't sure how, if I knew how to get better. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's sort of what you said.
Yeah.
And so when did that, didn't, at what point did you realize that you were going to be able to get better?
You know, I've always had I've always wanted to learn. I've always wanted to get better and whatnot. I just didn't know how. So the will and to get better was always there. It was just a matter of finding the source. And, you know, I'm not saying Chili and the last crew didn't help, because they definitely did. But this crew comes in here now is just a different point of view, that maybe hits home for me a little better. And so I'm obviously trying to be a more aggressive swinging. And now I have with JD and Timmy and Andy, though they've been kind of the main ones kind of helping me as far as the type of swings and what I've learned through my swing and how to get the most out of it. And so, you know, Hanley's been a good part, a big part in you know, this whole process too. And so it's just, I think I found the sources to kind of help me with what I'm supposed to be learning.
Where was the light bulb moment? Do you have dinner with Tim Hyers and there you go, you're on your way? Or
no, honestly, when I was learning through spring training, the struggles was kind of like the light bulb. When I was, you know, 0-for-16 and, you know, whatever, I got like...
Yes, that's when I told you, you do not put statistics on the back of... spring training statistics on the back of baseball cards. I felt like that was the turning point for you, right?
Yeah, at that point, you know, when I was going through that whole stretch, now, I mean, obviously it was tough. I mean, not getting a hit. I mean, sometimes you just want something lucky to happen just to know you can do it. But I knew going through that stretch that something was changing, you know, and whether it was a good change, I wasn't sure, but something was changing nonetheless. And so going through that whole time, man, it was tough, but I think that light bulb hit to where, I mean, you know, it's tough now, but, you know, I think once you get it, you know, it can happen fast. And so I think towards the end, I got to, you know, it started kind of clicking a little bit, and then, you know, that's when I kind of took off. And, you know, I'm still learning a lot now. I mean, there's still a lot of little things that I'm learning throughout every day, really.
So going back to spring training, when you go through that and you're saying, okay, I feel like I'm doing something different, I'm trying things new, it's not working out, but maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Was there any point where, like, nah, I had a pretty good 2016. I had a pretty good 2017. I'm okay. Maybe I'll go back to the way I was doing it before.
Yeah, for sure. There was definitely that. But then on the flip side of thinking that I knew what I did in 2017 was me. Like, that was the natural me. That was me making my own changes in
without it, without sort of trying to do it on your own a little bit.
Right. I mean, that was, you know, that was me. Like, you know, with everything that I've learned, and you know, Chili helped me, Vic helped me, those guys helped me. But I kind of, I wouldn't say shut them out, but I tried to do it myself instead of, you know, kind of being more open.
Was that because you had struggled? I mean, this is I remember, you know, Jackie went through that early on in his career too. That's human nature, right?
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, as I was going through that, I mean, you know, this year I came in and I was just going to say, hey, you know, be open to everything. There's just a new philosophy coming in. So with this new philosophy, you know, it may work for you. You never know. And my thought was, it can't get any worse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I came in and tried it. I mean, it, honestly, through spring training, it wasn't any worse than what I did last year. So, you know, I just kind of stuck it out. Luckily, luckily I did.
You said even we were talking a few weeks ago, a week or so ago, about that ball you hit first pitch of the season. If you really had it clicking, if you really had figured it out, that ball was probably gone. It didn't really click into Miami, right, the next series?
Right, yeah. You know, I was still kind of learning and whatnot. And I'm still, like I said, I'm still learning, but that's when I was, like, really early in the stages of it, of this whole process. And I think now if I hit that same ball, I think it'll go. But, yeah, in Miami, it's when it clicked. For the most part, I hit that ball to center field, even though he robbed it.
Yeah, he caught it.
Yeah, he caught
it. Clearly not good enough.
Right. I mean, just the fact that I did it, you know, if you know me, you know most of my home, pretty much all my home runs are pulled. But now I feel like, you know, I'm kind of spreading it around the field now. I've hit some to center, hit some to left center. And, you know, I just I think that's when it kind of clicked, and now I know, you know, what kind of ability I have, and it's just a matter of using it.
You know, another thing we talked about last year was sort of like the embracing personalities, and yeah, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole difference in the clubhouse. We already went down the Ortiz thing. That's fine, but you had said, like, maybe in 5 years I'll be willing to show my personality more. I don't know, and this is from my own perspective. Like, I feel like maybe this year you have a little bit more, and maybe that comes with this having a lot of success. Now that I've given you my opinion, because it's so valuable, how do you think that has been compared to last year in terms of showing your personality more?
Obviously, success is going to help you be able to show your personality more, but also the crew, the coaches, you know, they AC came in and kind of told me from the beginning, hey, you know, I want you to be a leader. I want you to show your personality. I want you to get everybody going. I want you to do this and those type of things. And, you know, I said this year, you know, I want to try it. You know, it's one of those things I want to try. And, you know, I've been doing what I can as far as trying to be an example as far as playing and with energy, you know, cheering guys on and you know, just being in guys' corners whenever they want to talk or need to talk and those type of things. So, you know, we have a bunch of little things kind of going on with dressing and as far as getting on the plane, all those type of things. You know, those, you don't have to be a vocal leader all the time. So I just try and maneuver my way into little situations where I can be a part of, and if my opinion is needed, then, you know, be there for it. But
more so than last year.
Definitely more so than last year. Last year I was a little quiet. I just didn't want to do too much, you know, being that I wasn't playing that well. And if you're not really playing that well, guys aren't going to really listen to you as much, which is just the nature of it. You know, it's nothing against them or nothing against me. I think it's just the nature of it.
Does it feel good? No. I mean, it feels good to lead baseball and everything, but does it feel good to do exactly what you're just talking about, of being able to sort of be the, I don't know, be the guy that we're, you know, who's out there a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure. I think it definitely feels good that I can kind of just let my hair down and play, you know, and just be myself, you know, through the whole, in the clubhouse, in the dugout, on the field, just kind of do my thing without thinking about it, without tiptoeing around anything. And I think being that I can do that playing, I think this kind of helping with the success too, knowing that if I mess up, it's okay. That, you know, you're gonna succeed more than you fail.
Was that? I said I wasn't gonna bring it up. Was that an Ortiz thing? Was that the Ortiz, like what you're talking about? You said tiptoe. Like everyone's trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's we all know he's the leader. You know, we kind of follow him. We know PD. You know, those guys are all the leaders and whatnot. But you know, it takes more than one. With him, he's such a big personality that, you know, we don't need many more than him, but we don't have that now. You know, we have.
But I think you guys found that collective more than you did last year.
It's going to take it takes us 5-6 guys to make up for that one. So I think we, as a crew, we know that, and we know that, you know, together we can together we can all do it. We can all be leaders, and we can all play the game the right way and enjoy ourselves. And we don't have to have just one person to kind of be our voice.
Which, by the way, was the teams that I've covered, the core dynasty and everything, like those are the teams. I mean, that's how it worked. Yeah. Jason Veritek had the C on his chest. He was like one of five guys, you know?
Exactly, and that's, I think that's something that we're definitely learning.
When you saw the MVP results last year, were you surprised? No, I'm not talking about 2 years ago. I'm talking about last year.
Yeah, I mean,
because you know why you finished in the, where did you finish?
Seventh.
Right. Were you surprised?
Definitely. Obviously, I felt like I played awful last year, and you know, I was fortunate enough to be up there. But you know, it's just one of those things where I can kind of build off of it and know that, you know, well, if I'm there now, I mean, we have. I can go out and maybe if I can do a little better. I mean, and my goal isn't just to win MVP; it's to win a World Series, obviously. And if
that's a nice individual goal to have.
Yeah, if I win MVP, it's definitely going to be cool. But there's a lot of, you know, good players that haven't won. I mean, it's going to be kind of tough to win with Mike Trout anyway.
No, it won't. Yeah. You almost did it. You almost did it. I mean, you almost did it. And here's what I want to ask: it's like, so when you guys go to Anaheim, because we all have to write about something, right? It becomes the flurry of like Mookie versus Mike Trout stories, right? And you don't have to say, I'm not asking you to say I'm better than Mike Trout or I'm comparable to Mike Trout, but it is like, I think it's a cool conversation to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm mentioned kind of with him, you know, it's done something well or you're doing something well, and you know, he's the best of the best, and so I mean, that's pretty much all I can say about it. You know,
No, it's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but MVP would be, you have individual goals, you have team goals. MVP would be an individual goal.
Yeah, for sure. And in you know, if I was fortunate enough to win that, I got to give it to the guys that are around me. And those have been kind of the guys that kind of stuck with me and pushed me forward. And even when I'm failing, you know, even when I'm playing well, they tell me, hey, you need to keep doing this, keep doing that. Or when I'm playing bad, you know, they let me know, hey, you're still a great player, this, that, and the other. You're still the best, and this, that, and the other. So, yeah, I have the best teammates in the world as far as, you know, keeping me on track. So I couldn't ask for a better group of guys.
What's your favorite statistic? Besides wins. I know wins.
I would say anything with like scoring runs, like RBIs and run scores, those are kind of the number one thing for me, just due to the fact that, I mean, those are one of the few categories that only go up. You know, it's one of those things where if you pay attention to things where that they go up and down, you know, when they're going up, you're happy. When they're going down, you're sad. And run scored is just, you know, stable. It keeps going up, and those type of things that I want to keep my eyes on. And obviously, that's what wins games.
When Cora said that you were going to lead off and do the whole George Springer thing, do you, you know, I lose track of where you want to hit in the order. Like, you've hit third, you've hit first, but where's it like, all right, yeah, I like that idea. I like that vibe that you're talking about setting the tone and hitting home runs and doubles. And is this something that you would like to do maybe the rest of your career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll do whatever he says. And I mean, I've hit leadoff my whole life, so it's kind of something that I'm kind of used to.
But you know what, people, you know, this is because, once again, we have to talk about stuff. You hit home runs. You've hit a lot of solo home runs. And what if you were hitting third? What if you're hitting fourth? But I'm of the mind of, like, I like setting the tone. I like you know, kicking things off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, who's to say that if I'm hitting third or fourth that, you know, I'm still getting the pitches that I'm getting, or I'm getting, you know, getting pitched the same way. So, I don't know if that all plays a factor. But I do know that, you know, I like leading off and you know, being able to run, you know, kind of do whatever I want on the bases, and being able to just try and find ways to score with that core group of guys behind me. And, you know, they make it easy on me to score because, I mean, they're hitting doubles and the gaps and whatnot, and I'm just kind of cruising around the bases.
I don't want to keep you. Like, you're freezing it, so I apologize. But I do want to ask you guys, same thing I asked. Oh my goodness! The question you need—if you have a question for me—because it has to be better than what do you, if the thing the thing about the Dodgers roster.
It has to be about baseball.
No, it can be about anything. It can be about how I lost 50 pounds on Awaken 180 weight loss program. I mean, I know it could be about anything.
I was going to go more along the lines of this series, this Celtics and
Cavs. Okay, let's do it. Now, remember, this is going to come out after Game 3.
That's fine.
All right.
Okay. So how, throughout this series, what kind of adjustments do you think LeBron will make, and what do you think he should make? Because my personal opinion is, I haven't gotten to watch a whole lot of games, but I'm assuming Brad Stevens is throwing a whole bunch of defenses at him, throwing a whole bunch of different guys at him. They run an offense where they're moving the ball, setting a lot of screens, making them play defense, and it's going to be hard to score 40, get a triple-double, and have to play defense the whole time, too. And so I'm just thinking about what can he do that can I don't know,
to make them win,
to help them win.
Yeah. So to me, so I was at Game 1, and I was pissed off watching him. I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm just like, it wasn't that he had a bad game, that he scored 15 points. It was that he was walking up the court. It was that when they're on the 27-2 run, he didn't take over. So to answer your question, like, when your team needs you, you can play nerf hoop. I mean, you can back a guy down. You can take over, and that's not going to win the game by itself. But more times, did you see the last game or any of the last game at all?
I kind of watched the story. I mean, he had 40, but I mean,
but he wins those games normally, you know. And so if you do that, if you have those sort of games, normally if you don't have the guys, to me, there is an element of he understands this team isn't as good as the other teams he's been on.
That's fair. I mean, I get it. I just think – I know that he's going to do what he can to win, but, I mean, it also takes – He can't just do it by himself.
No, I can't do it. So, I mean, it is what it is. Hey, but here's a question I have for you about that. I love this debate. The most important coach in professional sports, not like individual coach. Like, so here's my rankings. NFL coach number one. Like, it means the most. Mm-hmm. NFL number one. I'm going baseball number two, not because of, like, what happens on the field, but because of what happens in there, right? Yeah. And I always thought basketball – I'm not going to lie to you. Like, hockey, I have no idea. But basketball I thought was a four because I'm like, you get two or three good players.
It doesn't matter.
What's your take?
I agree with football being number one because I'm – You know, I haven't played a whole lot of football, but I do know that coaches are in and out of there, you know, depending on how the teams play a lot. And it seems like coaches don't stick as long in football. And I could be wrong. I don't really know.
No, you're right.
One thing I do know about being that I play baseball and basketball, that those two, like you said, a lot of it is off the field. Some of it's on the field, and a lot of it, some of it is, making decisions on the field and whatnot. And some of it's just kind of self-explanatory with, in baseball as far as who to bring
in. There's a lot of that during the course of a game.
Yeah. So I may have to. I'm not sure. I may have to go basketball before baseball.
Really? Even though there's 12 guys, so you talk about managing the team, managing the off-the-court things. There's only 12 guys, or you have 25 here. You have a shorter season. But I hear you. And the reason I've kind of changed my opinion a little bit is because of Brad Stevens, to be honest with you.
That's the reason why, because to me, if you get a coach in a system, it's like those you find guys that just fit in that system, and no matter if they're John Doe, he's going to thrive in that system just because that's he's in the right position to he's in the NBA at the end of the day, you know. So it's not like he's a it's not like he's that bad at basketball.
No, know? But we've seen guys go places and like sucked.
Right, but I feel like that's that there's a system.
You know, I'll give you one. All right, here's a one on the reverse. Kyrie Irving, he can't play defense. He gets to Boston, he can play defense.
It's because it's the system. To me, I feel like...
Right, so you're, but that, but the coach of the other system had a bad system.
Exactly. All so right. That's why I say that. Right. You know, like, if you put Draymond Green, if you put him on a different team, he's not Draymond Green.
No.
Like, no, I'm not taking shots at him because I think he's...
Don't worry, I won't. I'll edit that out.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like if he's in that system... When he's in that system with the Warriors, he's one of the best players in the league. But if he goes to a system where he's got to be the scorer and be the man, he may not be able to thrive like he does with Golden
State. But with football, number one, you need a quarterback. That's that's the most important player on any team in any sport is a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In baseball, it's the system. There are elements of the system, as we've talked about, but if you have good pitching and you have good hitting, you're probably going to be able to win.
It doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, he can whatever his decisions he makes. I mean, it affects the game. It can affect the game, but it doesn't take a big toll as much as, you know, football and basketball, in my opinion.
Okay. So you would put would you put basketball ahead of baseball?
I would put basketball ahead of baseball.
Ooh, I like it.
Just like I said, just because I mean, you just get certain guys in certain systems, man, and they just thrive, you know.
I can't argue with it. The debate rages on. All right, well, I said, listen, I don't want to. I ask you to do this once a year, so I appreciate you doing it. I hope it's something that you'll look forward to. Now you're counting the days off till next year, but thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.